You're listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim. Pastor James is continuing his teaching today in 1 Samuel chapter 22. Right now, though, we're going to begin today's message in Genesis chapter 25, beginning with verse 29. Here's Pastor James with today's message.
Now, I want to turn to the story, Genesis 25. So as you're turning to Genesis 25, I want you to note that Esau was the founding father of the Edomites, and Doeg was an Edomite. So this is why I feel like it warrants a connection tonight in taking this little rabbit trail, because we're going to understand, I think, a little bit more about Doeg as an Edomite and what he represents in the Bible as we go back to Esau, the first Edomite. It says in Genesis 25, 29, "Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary.' Therefore his name was called Edom." 31, "But Jacob said, 'Sell me your birthright as of this day.' And Esau said, 'Look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me?' Then Jacob said, 'Swear to me as of this day.' So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." And so then we fast forward to the end of Isaac's life when he's old and nearly blind. And he favors Esau and wants to give Esau the blessing from Abraham. And he sends him out to go hunt and prepare his favorite meal for him and then bless him. But meanwhile, at the prompting of his mother, Jacob disguises himself as Esau and goes in to receive the firstborn blessing. Because remember, Isaac is nearly blind. And so in Genesis 27:33, after Jacob has received the blessing from his dad, in comes Esau and says, "I'm here, Dad. I've made your favorite meal. Now bless me." And so then it says in verse 33, then this is Genesis 27, verse 33. It says, "Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him. And indeed, he shall be blessed.' When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, me also, O my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.' And Esau said, 'Is he not rightfully named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?' Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?' And Esau said to his father, 'Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, me also, O my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, 'Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth and of the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck.'" So this is the blessing that Isaac has for Esau. But it's kind of a blessing. It's like, yeah, you're going to, don't worry, son. You know, things are going to go great with you. You're going to be very wealthy and accumulate. You're going to do great in the world. But you're going to serve your brother, and your descendants will serve your brother's descendants. Jacob gets the blessings that were promised to Abraham. into his seed forever. Verse 41, so Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. He had resolved in his heart that he would kill him. Remember that Esau is the father of the Edomites. And there's going to be tension and conflict between Jacob and his descendants, the Israelites, and Esau and his descendants, the Edomites. Conflict. And we see this with Doeg now, don't we? Now, the story continues with Jacob and Esau as Jacob has to basically flee for his life, but under the pretense of going to find a wife in Haran, where his dad found a wife. And there he marries Rachel and Leah. He's there 14 years. But in the meantime, Esau actually expands his tribe and becomes very wealthy and gets lots of flocks and wives and things like that. He takes on pagan wives. And then eventually his descendants settle in the area of Mount Seir or Edom. And they were ruled by kings very early on, well before the Israelites demanded that they have a king. So all through the time of Judges, the Edomites had kings. Remember in Numbers 20, the children of Israel were heading back into the promised land, and then they wanted to go through the land of Edom to get to the promised land. But the Edomites said, no, you can't pass through here. And so Moses said through the Lord, okay, let's just go around. And then they got to Moab and said, okay, can we pass through? Moab said, no. And then they attacked Israel, and you started having these battles. Well, the Edomites wouldn't let them pass. So they're opposed to Israel from the beginning as they're entering back into the promised land. They fought with King Solomon. They opposed King Jehoshaphat. They rebelled against King Jehoram. And then worst of all, when the Babylonians finally came in, now we're fast forwarding hundreds of years from the time of King David right now, and all the time of the kings happen and they disobey the Lord and God sends prophets and warns them, and then finally judgment must come, and so Babylon comes in and they destroy the city of Jerusalem and they destroy the temple in Jerusalem. Well, at that time, the Edomites rejoice at the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And they even hinder the escape of the people as the people are fleeing for their lives. They get in the way of that escape. And they even participate in the plunder of their goods along with the Babylonians. So there's been this conflict with Edom, these descendants of Esau, for a really long time. Now, Obadiah, the book of Obadiah, speaks against the Edomites. And here's what he says in chapter 1, verse 18. It says, the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them. And no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. And so in the 5th century BC, when Edom, you know, the Edomites actually used to dwell in the rock city of Petra. If you've heard of the rock city of Petra, you've ever watched the Indiana Jones movie, and there's that long canyon that goes into that city that's all made carved into the cliffs. That would be the rock city of Petra. The Israelites in the last days are going to hide there and be protected by God. But the Edomites were the ones who first settled that and lived there. But in the 5th century BC, they were kicked out by a group of people called the Nabataeans. And they're assimilated then. Well, they actually had to move far south, but they begin to get assimilated into the other tribes. But later on in the time of the Roman name for them was the Idumeans. And you may remember that Herod the Great was an Idumean. So Herod the Great, who killed all the babies in Bethlehem in his attempt to kill Jesus, because he was another one of these paranoid leaders, right? He was an Edomite. Herod the Great, he ends up dying of kidney disease and gangrene of the genitals. Ouch. This is gross, I know. With maggots infesting his wounds. You know, this is a physical picture of the spiritual destiny of people who oppose God Almighty and his Son, Jesus Christ, who try to live for the flesh. You know, these Herods were just debauched people living for the flesh. His son Herod Antipas was the one who killed John the Baptist and was complicit in the death of Jesus. Remember, Jesus was brought to him, and he wanted to see Jesus do some cool miracle, but Jesus was silent before him. And so he said, take him out of here. Send him back to Pilate. Well, he died while banished in Gaul, which is present-day Spain. And then there was Herod Agrippa. This would be Herod the Great's grandson, Herod Agrippa, obviously also an Edomite as descendants of Herod the Great. And he was the one that Paul went before and gave witness to of the gospel, and he rejected Paul's witness. And then to please the people, he actually had James, the brother of John, so Peter, James, and John, he had him killed with the sword. And then he saw that the people approved of that, so he arrested Peter, but Peter then was freed by the angel. Remember that story? But his demise was in Acts 12:21. And it says Herod there actually was giving this oration to the people of Tyre and Sidon. And he, this is 12:21, he says he was arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of a god and not a man." Verse 23, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And this is the last mention that we have of Edomites. Idumeans. They're done. We can't find them anymore on the earth. And so the prophecy was fulfilled. But all of this connects back, doesn't it, to Doag, the Edomite, whose ancestor Esau wanted to kill Jacob. And so he's got this bitterness, and he's got this desire for fleshly living that's also we see in Esau. And it continues on. Now, let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 20. It says, now one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. So one of the descendants of Eli, Abiathar the priest, got away. Verse 21, and Abiathar told David that Saul had killed the Lord's priests. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doag the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. Stay with me, do not fear, for he who seeks my life seeks your life, but with me you shall be safe. Now we see here with David that because of his fear as he was fleeing Saul, that he had a lapse in faith and didn't trust the Lord, and he went and he lied to Ahimelech. And this, just by going there, was putting Ahimelech in danger. But then to lie so that Ahimelech would show him kindness also implicated him against David. And so David recognized, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Now, of course, Saul and Doag are the guilty ones for what they did to the priests. But David also owns up to his own part in it all. That, man, that was a bad idea. In Psalms 37, verse 8, second part, it says, "Do not fret. It only causes harm. It only causes harm." And when we get scared and we start doing things in doubt and fear, then it only causes problems. And David is learning this lesson in a very real way as he sees all these priests have been slaughtered. And so the thing that David thought would be his deliverance and his safety actually was to his hurt and to the hurt of others. Proverbs 14:12, another verse that we quote often, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." This is why we have to acknowledge the Lord, friends. We've got to look to God and not go our own way or the way that just seems right to us. But we get on our knees and we begin to pray and seek the Lord and ask Him. And we look to the Scriptures that are a lamp to our feet and a light to our path that show us the right way and the right thing to do. And the Scriptures say, well, tell the truth. And the Scriptures say, forgive, so that you don't become bitter. That's what the Scriptures say. And so let's go the way of God. Now, there's lots of blame to go around, that's for sure. So David owns his mistake and fully takes blame. Yet he doesn't wallow in his self-guilt. Notice that? He moves forward in the grace of God and just chooses to do the right thing from that point forward. He goes, you know what? Yeah, I blew it. Yeah, that's terrible consequences. But hey, this new guy, Abiathar, you made it through. And so now I'm going to protect you. You stick with me, and we're going to be okay. And so Abiathar does. This is an example to us when we would make mistakes, not to beat ourselves up and to condemn ourselves, but yes, to acknowledge it, own it. You know, it's so refreshing in the workplace or anywhere for that matter, when instead of people trying to blame shift or make excuses, you know, for a mistake that they've made or something like that, but instead they just say, yeah, you know what, I blew it, I'm sorry. But going forward, you know, this is what I'm going to do to help me prevent, to help prevent me from making that mistake in the future. That is so refreshing when we have that. But the flesh wants to protect. We don't want to disappoint. We don't want to hurt. We don't want to be the one. And so the flesh wants to shift the blame to somebody else or something else or some other circumstance and come up with excuses. Now, David doesn't take the blame all to himself, because obviously he's not the one who killed the priests. But he puts most of the blame on Doeg. And I think that that's because he recognized that Saul was truly deceived by Doeg. And he was blinded by his jealousy and hate. Not to excuse it, but Doeg knew full well. He was there. He saw the situation. He saw what David said to Ahimelech. And that Ahimelech was innocent. And so here's what David has to say about this in Psalm chapter 52. Psalm 52. Turn with me to Psalm 52. I love it when we can correlate a psalm or two to the events that we're reading about in 1 Samuel. And so Psalm 52 was written by David. And it says in the introduction to this psalm, "To the chief musician, a contemplation of David, when Doeg the Edomite went and told Saul and said to him, David has gone to the house of Ahimelech." Verse 1, "Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Verse 5, God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, here is the man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. So there's a picture into Doag's motivation to strengthen himself in his wickedness and trusting in the abundance of riches rather than in God. Verse 8, but I am like a green olive in the house of God. David's going to, hey, I'm not going to be like that. I'm not going to fall to that trap. I am resolved. I am like a green olive in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise you forever because you have done it. And in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. The name of God is good because it represents his character, his love, his grace, who he is towards us. And so we wait on his name because his name is good. And don't give in to the flesh to identify with the Edomites. Now Saul, he reaches new lows, doesn't he, in this chapter, as he identifies with Esau and the Edomites rather than with Jacob and the people of God, the people of the birthright, the people of the blessing. And so the question tonight is, who do you choose to identify with? Who do I choose to identify with? Am I going to identify with the people of the birthright, the people of the blessing, the people of God, the family of God, and trust him and trust in his finished work on the cross, Jesus Christ's finished work? Did you know that the cross, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, that the divide between the Jew and the Gentile was brought down and the two became one. One. So the believing Gentile and the believing Jew, the Bible says in Romans 9 that we, as we put our trust in Jesus Christ as the Savior, are grafted in to them. So when someone says, are you Jewish? Yes, I am Jewish. I am spiritually Jewish because I've been grafted in to the family of God and the promises of God, which were made to Abraham. I'm a child of Abraham. Now, it's important for me to say that this doesn't mean that every promise that was made to Israel in the flesh applies to me. No, God made some promises to the descendants of Abraham that do not apply to me as a Gentile, that he would gather Israel back to the land. He's speaking of his physical people and establish them there. And that his capital, when Jesus comes back and rules and reigns, his capital will be there in Israel. And God has not discarded his chosen people. But friends, we are grafted in to that family. And so let's choose to live accordingly. Live according to the culture of God and not live after the flesh like Esau and the Edomites, and not like Saul, who is an Israelite, but he is slipping into acting like an Edomite and identifying with an Edomite. We identify with God and with God's people. Make that your resolve tonight to do that. Repent if you haven't been. Repent and say, no, I'm no longer going to give myself over to that sexual sin or that pornography or that substance abuse, that addiction. I'm not going to give in to lying and trying to make things happen the way that I want them to happen and to control the outcomes. But instead, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to flee to the cave of Adullam and cry out to the Lord, and He's my rescue.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you. To let us know how God has touched your life through this program or to submit a prayer request, simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.